через ліс летіла зозуля. Піду я на гіпон і проголосую: гей, забава, рок-н-рол до рана. Гей, гуляй, веселий, що керсносер не жули. Добре попрацюєм, новим ми збудуєм, нашим рідним серед-серу. Раз, два, три, гуляра! Шла корова по дорозі, а за не телетко. Виконали дострокову лемки п'ятилетку. Їхав вуйко на ровери, куйку ще спустило. Робітник і селянин, то велика сила. Гей, забава, рок-н-рол до рана. Бий, гуляй, веселий, штокар, слюзер, не журись. Добре попрацюєм, новий мир збудуєм, нашим рідним зересеру. Раз, два, три, холєра!
Time Ukrainian rock and roll for you there, courtesy the Brite Hajdukine, the Viper Brothers, and that was Hezabava SSSR. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Павліна. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. Myra Junik will be here with a Knishka Corner book review. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish Heritage and The Last Jew of Drohobych, Alfred Schreier. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, and our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And up next is a Ukrainian a cappella group, very well known, Picardiska Tertsia, and here they are now from a CD recorded back in 1999 called Ya Pridumayu Svit, and the song is called Spitai, Ask.
Na 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 життя. А звідки приходить звідки? Спитай у листя і квітки, куди відходить життя? Спитай у листя і квітки, куди відходить життя? А де зникають пісні? Ніколи
La 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 la
band, the Lemko Bluegrass Band from Ukraine, doing some sounds that don't sound too much like bluegrass, but delightful nonetheless. And they hearken from Lviv. That song was called Dunai. Up next, some Canadian talent for you. This is a group from Winnipeg called Kolena, from their CD Seam, and a Cajun take on a traditional Ukrainian folk song. This is called Stejichko Moya Zydeko, which could maybe be translated as My Cajun Destiny.
Стежечка моя, під сестричкою, Мелічко, тужко, подаричкою, усміхається, мої травами, під деревами, кучерявами, усміхається, мої травами, під деревами, кучерявами. Лише білої, занесу прибі, як то милої, до коханої, до рум'яної, зірки ясної, полум'яної, до коханої, до рум'яної, зірки ясної, полум'яної. Весело мені, срібний голосом, чую вдалені, шепчу ніжно я, дороге ім'я, ой ти стежечко, стежечко моя, шепчу ніжно я, дороге ім'я, ой ти стежечко, стежечко моя.
Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baker. Imagine everything that is dear to you in life has been lost. Imagine your world destroyed, and imagine if you can find the strength to move ahead. In 2011, the Austrian director Paul Rosde released his film The Last Jew from Trochowicz. The documentary chronicles the astonishing path of one man's journey through the treacherous history of Eastern Europe. Alfred Schreyer was born in 1922 in Trochowicz, a thriving town then in Poland and now in Western Ukraine. His mother, Leontina, was a pharmacist. His father, Benno, had a doctorate from the University of Zurich and was a chief chemist at an oil refinery. Both were very musical, and Alfred learned to play the cello. Later, in high school, Alfred was a student of the world-renowned writer and painter Bruno Schultz. Just like Alfred, Bruno Schultz spent most of his life in Trochowicz. Schultz's acclaimed books, The Street of Crocodiles, and The Sanatorium Under the Sign of the Hourglass, both now translated into many languages, can still be felt and seen on every street corner in Trochowicz. The outbreak of the Second World War, however, turned Trochowicz upside down. Yet life continued. Alfred graduated from high school in 1940 during the first Soviet occupation of Western Ukraine. he earned his first money in a vocal quartet. After the German army arrived in June 1941, 5 forced labor camps were established in Trhobych. Alfred worked in a carpentry workshop in a nearby village. The family had to leave their home and move into the ghetto. The killing soon started. At first, smaller groups of Jews were assembled and then shot in the forest. On August 5, 1942, 5,000 Jews from Trhobych were deported to Belzec and gassed. Among them were Alfred's father, an uncle, a grandmother, and an aunt. And in November 1942, Alfred's teacher Bruno Schultz was shot by a Gestapo officer in the streets of Trhobych. In 1943, 3 forced labor camps were liquidated, all in one day. 11,000 Jews from Trhobych and its surroundings were shot in the woods. Alfred's mother was among them. Alfred, young and still strong, was forced to work in a ceramic workshop camp and later at the Carpathian Oil Corporation, the last forced labor camp in Trhobych. In April 1944, the front lines of the war were once again nearing Trhobych. Alfred and all the other workers were sent further west to concentration camps in Germany. Suddenly, one day near Leipzig, the prisoners were told to march. There was no destination. This was a death march. Alfred survived by his wits and good luck. After the war ended, Alfred had a chance to go to Argentina, where there was an aunt and an uncle. But when he saw the barracks of the Red Cross in Berlin, he decided spontaneously to return to Trhobych. Absolutely nothing was left of Alfred's former life in Trhobych. But he found a new home in the local cinema lobby orchestra. Alfred's orchestra had a singer and 11 musicians, 3 saxophones, 2 trumpets and a trombone, piano, drums, accordion, violin, and bass. They played overtures, songs, waltzes, and special arrangements when a music film was in the schedule. The orchestras were played in the lobby for 30 to 40 minutes before screening time. Each week there was a new music program. Alfred never lost his optimism. He had lost everything but his life, and he moved his life forward in a beautiful way, through music. He found his luck, despite everything, in the cinema lobby orchestra. Alfred Schreyer passed away on April 25, 2015. His extraordinary story reflects a life caught between tragedy and resilience, a life that transcended the toxic hatreds of the 20th century. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baker. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Живий, матусенько, живий, хоч вже по нас безчесно так стріляють, для них вже свій народ то вороги. Якщо ж загину, то за що я знаю? Для них вже свій народ то вороги. Якщо ж загину, то за що я знаю? Я знаю, мамо, як тобі болить, ота моя нестримна. сумна вдача, але не плач, хай наші вороги від немочі своєї гірко плачуть, але не плач, хай наші вороги від немочі своєї гірко плачуть. А я живий, матусенько, живий, бо за нами правда, нас уже не здолати. От тільки жаль, що наші вороги цькують на нас, мого по крові брата. От тільки жаль, що наші вороги цькують на нас, мого по крові брата. А я живий, матусенько, живий, і не питай, чи я боюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся.
And a popular Ukrainian singer by the name of Sofia Fedina, and a song that was a tribute to the heroes of the Maidan, and that was called A Ya Zhive, I Am Alive. Up next, a song called Stobyutsiu, which means 100 fighters, and that is a tribute not only to the heroes of the Maidan, but to the modern-day heroes that are currently fighting to maintain Ukrainian independence and sovereignty. It is a Ukrainian remake of a very popular American folk song made popular by Sergeant Barry Sadler in the 1960s, and it was called The Legend of the Green Berets, and this Ukrainian version is called Stobyutsiu, 100 Fighters.
Протекла, мов кров з ножа, по степу тонка межа, ліворуч битва, а справа бій, чигає смерть у далі голубі. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я, і день за днем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ. День за днем, хто знає де, був наказ, і сотня йде крізь вогонь і куль політ, крізь вугілля і крізь граніт. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Ідень за днем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ. З рубежу і на рубіж, з роздоріж до роздоріж, і так далеко твій рідний дім, кохана, жде тебе у нім. Нам маня, нас доля б'є, вчора
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Germany is one of Russia's closest EU trading partners and is one of the most powerful nations in the 28-nation bloc. It's also been the battlefield for the Kremlin's information war, where Moscow has attempted to gain support for its actions in Ukraine. Not only that, but Putin has attempted to break unity within the bloc by influencing the more radical parties through trade and political deals. And today, in the Ukraine Today studio, we're going to be speaking to Anna Litzk. He is an MEP and forms part of the Social Democratic Party of Germany. Anna Litzk, thank you very much for coming in to Ukraine Today. So first of all, I wanted to ask you some questions about Russia's information war. And firstly, how has that affected German public opinion?
The situation how Russia is trying to spread news has been reflected very critically in German public media. It has been perceived and seen and publicly also talked about how Putin tries to implement his visions into the media of Russia. The whole question if Russia is a part of the war or not has not been brought up in the Russian media. And this issue alone is a very important factor on the German news, how the propaganda happens in Russia today.
Has this always been the case? Have the views changed over time?
Russia and the Soviet Union, because of the Soviet Union history, has been perceived very positively. I myself have been learning Russian in St. Petersburg. I have been many times in Russia myself. I've been invited by the Russian government to meet young fellows from Russian politics and media. But the public has been now more and more critical. And I met many great Russian people. I like the country, but the situation of propaganda Russia is facing up today, the limiting of free media is incredibly unacceptable for the free and open society and free media.
And do you think with these television channels and the Russian state media message that the Ukrainian government is fascists and Nazis, do you think this influences German opinion?
This has been not taken in by German public.
Really?
Even I would say not. So the trust has been destroyed from the Russian side because of their situation they brought to Europe throughout the last 2 years. And so we were very negatively that this happens. And I hope that has a shift again in the future. And we have to work on this to rebuild trust. We'll see who can take this up from the Russian side.
Now you are working in Brussels almost every week. How do you think that the European Union can unite against Russia and the sanctions?
On the situation that Russia tries to be influential amongst the European parties, Russia supports the France Nationale, which is, in my understanding, a right-wing and nationalistic party in France. Besides that, the left party is being supported. We had meetings by, which is totally unacceptable, 70 years after liberation of the Nazi time, the Nazis in St. Petersburg, we had a meeting of right-wing parties which was accepted by the Russian authorities amongst all European countries and right-wing groups. These are situations where it is visible that the Russian government at this point tries to bring different fields, different positions into the European Union, and also in this regard Europe has to stand united. And I'm very positive that, for example, the Front National financial support has been brought up publicly.
Okay, great. Anna, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Ukraine State Security Service has revealed how Russia offers its soldiers triple their normal allowance for going to fight in Ukraine, while taking away military IDs and other documents that may identify them as Russian soldiers. Vasil Gritsak, chairman of the Security Service of Ukraine, said on July 29th that the arrest of an officer of Russia's armed forces in Donbass on July 25th was an example of how Russia had created a mechanism for coordinating its military in Ukraine. According to Gritsakh, at about 2200 Kyiv time on July 25th, the border guards detained a Kamaz truck at a checkpoint in eastern Ukraine. Vladimir Starkov, a citizen of the Russian Federation, born in 1978, a native of Khabarovsk region, was riding in the cabin. The testimony provided by Starkov, as well as his Russian-made notepad and other documents seized during his arrest, once again confirmed the existence of a well-established mechanism for the coordination and direct involvement of military personnel from Russia's armed forces, Gritsakh said. He explained the mechanism as follows. The servicemen of Russian armed forces are offered further military service in the illegal armed groups of the so-called Donetsk and Lugansk People's Republics, respectively, and are promised triple allowance.
There are no per diems paid for this. One is officially given a position at the 12th Command Unit in the city of Novocherkassk at some military unit. And when one arrives there, he is presented with the fact that he will not serve in Novocherkassk. He will serve in either the Luhansk People's Republic or the Donetsk People's Republic. So are you just presented with the fact? No discussion? No, nothing is disclosed beforehand. Everything related to Ukraine is made top secret.
Ukraine is still holding two Russian soldiers who were captured in May and have been charged with terrorism. Russia says the two men had quit their special forces unit to go to Ukraine on their own. Ukraine's border guards said in a statement that they found nearly 200 cases containing grenades and ammunition, including rocket-propelled shells, when they stopped a truck at the checkpoint about 45 kilometers southwest of Donetsk.
Hello and welcome to Ukraine Today. My name is Peter Byrne and this is the Press Review. Is the United States selling out Ukraine? Brian Whitmore from America's Radio Free Liberty, Radio Europe, mulls this question in a 1,000-word op-ed republished on July 28th by the U.S.-based Atlantic Ezine. Cynicism, duplicity, and hypocrisy are often the reserve currencies of politics, where interests tend to trump values. Whitmore writes that there have long been suspicions that the United States and Europe might give Ukraine up in exchange for Russia's support in securing a deal to curb Iran's nuclear program. Over the past 2 weeks, speculation has intensified that some kind of quid pro quo has in fact been reached with Putin. It began in earnest on July 14th when Obama praised Russia's role in securing a deal to curb Iran's nuclear program. Speculation reached a fever pitch when Obama and Putin had two long phone conversations on June 25th and July 15th. Moscow's endgame is to embed Russian territories back into Ukraine as a Trojan horse, and it is desperate to cut a deal to secure this result. The author's conclusion? Stalemate. Ukraine insists that Russia fulfill the military end of the Minsk deal before it fulfills the political end. And Russia insists that Ukraine deliver the political changes first.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Hey, hey, so
From Ukraine, Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kyiv, and Nalivaymo Bratya, Let's Drink Brothers. Welcome to Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knyzhka Corner, we will be discussing Alexander Motyl's novel, Sweet Snow. The subtitle of Sweet Snow by Alexander Motyl is a novel of the Ukrainian famine of 1933. This novel chronicles the loss of more than 4 million Ukrainians during Stalin's man-made famine of 1932-33. Motyl focuses on four strangers imprisoned in an isolated prison as the Holodomor rages in the eastern Ukrainian countryside. Readers first meet Golub, the Jewish-American journalist, who is terrified by his predicament. It was reassuring to be alive, even if just barely. Motyl's novel is a brutally realistic portrayal of the devastation created by Stalin in eastern Ukraine during the famine. The four prisoners, the Jewish-American journalist Golub, a German nobleman, a Polish diplomat stationed in Lviv, and the Ukrainian nationalist from Vienna, face an uncertain future in the desolate, freezing, and rat-filled jail cell. They argue about everything: the rise of Adolf Hitler, communism, and Ukrainian nationalism. Escape seems impossible, but suddenly the four unlikely companions are herded into a truck to be transported to an unknown location. Their clumsy guards are killed after the truck overturns in deep snow. The prisoners are free, or are they? Their journey now takes them through the terrifying Ukrainian countryside, where they experience the famine firsthand. They meet several survivors of the devastation. They encounter cannibalistic scavengers, as well as a corpse-like dying woman. Despite their vast differences of opinion about politics and history, the prisoners bond through their common experience of the famine. As they make their way to freedom in western Ukraine, they must face their deepest fears. Who will survive? Motyl has skillfully portrayed the horrors of Stalin's Holodomor in his novel Sweet Snow. The title makes reference to the sweet snow that covers the devastation of the Ukrainian countryside during the Holodomor. The snow is one of the only things that the fleeing prisoners can find to sustain them in the ruined villages filled with rotting corpses. The images of the dead and the dying are unforgettable and appalling. Wherever they looked, however, they saw dead bodies. Open eyes and open mouths stared back at them with a fish-like indifference and animal ferocity that literally took their breath away. For Rutgers University professor Alexander Motyl, the creation of Sweet Snow was a very personal journey. In 2012, he edited the Holodomor Reader, a compilation of resource documents and eyewitness accounts of the terrifying historical events. Motyl discovered that there were very few fictional accounts of the Holodomor, so he decided to write Sweet Snow. The devastation of starving Ukrainian villagers comes alive in his somewhat lengthy description. The characters are realistically portrayed. This novel explores many important themes, including power, political expediency, and self-awareness. Dr. Alexander Motto is a scholar, novelist, poet, and painter. A native New Yorker, he received his doctoral degree in political science from Columbia University. He is currently a professor of political science at Rutgers Newark and a specialist on Ukraine and Russia. Motel is the author of 10 books of nonfiction and editor of 15 volumes, including The Encyclopedia of Nationalism and The Holodomor Reader. His novels include Fall River, Meyer Hidia, and The Jew Who Was Ukrainian. His poems have been published in New York Quarterly and other journals, and his artwork has appeared in art shows in New York, Philadelphia, and Toronto. Sweet Snow is a profound novel which will change perspectives on the Holodomor. After reading this novel, you will definitely start searching for more Motto novels. Sweet Snow is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Steinbeck, Manitoba, that was the By Request Band from their CD, Ukrainian Boys Gone Wild, and that was Danny's Foxtrot. Coming up next from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and surrounding areas, pretty much spanning the prairie provinces, Mickey and Bunny and an American folk song that Ukrainian Canadians adapted and adopted quite well. It needs no introduction.
Називають горілку омру, але мало я те, що не п'ю. Ти кльониш творе, і горілка на ці йде, і потягти на вас ще раз на зуб. Він сусіда Михай став великий богач, по десятці він гальони продавав. Але славили ту час, заплатив дві стараз, і ще 500 тоді Михай пропав. Well, they call it the good old Mountain Dew, and then that it is an art view. I will shut up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Не шануй того, що сміється з батька твого. And our proverb of the week translates as, do not respect someone who laughs at your parents. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, the Ukrainian old-timers from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and the dust-raising polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.